Welcome to Nonfiction Friends, where truth is stranger than fiction. I am one of your hosts, Rebecca.
I'm Josh.
I'm Josh.
I'm Josh. We are here.
Should have said it in an accent.
I cannot do a Scottish accent.
No, I can't either. I don't even know where to start.
I don't know where to start for that. I'm not going to do that at risk of sounding very bad.
Right.
But yes, we are talking about Scotland today.
Scotland.
In honor of
National
what?
Tartan Day.
National Tartan
Which is
Day.
Today, April 6th.
Well, yep. In case you didn't know, that is a thing that is happening today.
Yes. Normally in New York City, there's like a huge Scottish parade.
Oh.
When it's not pandemic time.
You know, I've always like wanted to wear thing. One.
I can arrange that.
I don't think that's... No, I'm scared now.
I have two kilts. You can borrow one.
Just picture that we're wearing kilts as we're recording.
I do have them. I have one in my tartan and one in black.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. They're both authentic. Made of wool.
Does that get hot?
Yeah. Well, not really because it's like a, you know, it's open.
I guess.
It's just a lot of fabric. It's like 8 yards to make a kilt.
Ooh.
Something like that.
Wow.
But
that's a lot.
Tartans and kilts are two different things. They're related, but they're not the same. But we'll go over that later.
Yeah, I'm already confused.
My job here is done.
You've been to Scotland.
Aye, laddie.
Great. Wonderful.
That's it. That's the extent of my Scottish.
Well, that was very good. I'll give that to you.
My people are from Scotland.
What parts of Scotland have you been to?
I went to Edinburgh, the capital.
Mm. Yes.
My people are from northern Scotland.
In the Lowlands? Right?
Is that northern Scotland?
Highlands?
Yes.
I have a map somewhere.
I believe I can't remember precisely where, but on my mother's side, my great grandfather was Scottish.
Edinburgh is in the southern Scotland.
Yeah. My family's from northern Scotland.
Interesting.
So we're a member of the Gunn clan because my grandfather's last name was Jameson, which is a member of the Gunn clan. So that's what I am.
That's very exciting.
It is exciting. I'm very proud to be Scottish.
Do you have family there currently?
No.
Okay.
No, all my family's in England.
Okay.
My grandfather passed away before I was born, so I didn't meet him. I think I'm embarrassing myself if I got that wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's my grandfather on my mother's side. I know it's my mother's side, but I think it was my grandfather. Not great. Well, I mean, my great-grandfather. I'm rambling.
No, for sure. Hey, so when you visited, what did you do there?
That's a good question. I've actually been twice to Edinburgh. I visited the castle, of course, the Royal Mile.
Ooh.
The museums there.
I love me a good castle.
The Royal Museum of Scotland or whatever. One year I went, it was around Christmas time, and there was a German market, which was very fun. Like a Christmas market. It was very nice. Been to the zoo, of course. And they have red pandas. It's great.
Oh.
The best animal ever.
Debatable, but all right.
We went to Loch Ness.
Were you just there for vacation? Like you were just vacationing?
The first time I went, it was vacation. Second time I went, it was for my father's wedding. Mm. And we took a road trip up to Loch Ness. Didn't see Nessie.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
But
it was fabulous. It's a beautiful country. People there are really nice. The food is great.
I was going to ask you about the food.
The beer is great. The whiskey's great. Everything's great.
Haggis?
Haggis is delicious.
Is it now?
It is delicious.
Well,
if
how
it's
would you
cooked right.
How would you describe it?
It's a bit gamey. It's got a not a metallic flavor, but like you can tell it's
so far you haven't sold me on it.
It's not beefy. It's got like oats and grains in it. So it's
healthy.
It's like a crumbly texture. And it's tasty.
What, like ground beef?
Yeah,
crumbly?
Like ground beef, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's cooked
well.
I say
this as I've had ground beef last night.
If it's cooked well, it's really delicious.
As opposed to not being
cooked? Well, traditionally, it is boiled in a sheep's stomach.
Right.
And I can't imagine that. Unless it's seasoned well, I don't know if I would be down for that action. Usually when I have haggis, it's pan-seared.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't had haggis the traditional way?
Not that I know of.
Okay, well,
I've
that's
had
fair.
A lot of haggis, though.
How do you boil something in a sheep's stomach?
Like a sausage. It's like a giant plump sausage.
See, this imagery is all wrong for
Picture
me.
A jelly bean.
Picture a jellyfish.
A giant jelly bean. Meat jelly bean.
This is terrible.
Sitting.
Now imagine that as a soda.
Oh man, haggis flavored soda. That would have been awesome.
Would I have tried it? Maybe.
I would have, definitely.
Okay. Should I go first or should you go first? Should I go first? I'm talking about Scotland.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm just talking about Scotland in general.
General.
Now, I have two books here.
Ooh.
The DK Eyewitness to Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rick Steves.
Shout out to Rick Steves.
Scotland. Hey, Rick Steves, you want to come on the podcast?
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. I would fangirl out so hard.
Both in 914.11. The Rick Steves one's more up to date, I will say that. But, you know, the Scotland one, the DK Eyewitness one, is still just as good.
Which one's better?
I pulled most of my information from the Rick Steves one.
Of course.
But the DK Eyewitness has, like, in the front here, a couple of reasons to love Scotland and, you know, to visit.
Uh-huh.
Dramatic history.
Of course.
Number one.
Yes.
They specifically cite the castles.
Uh-huh.
Majestic landscapes.
For sure.
Hogmanay?
Oh, yeah. I was there right after that. It's a New Year's festival.
Yeah, New Year's with world-class bands and awesome midnight pyrotechnics.
Mm-hmm.
I
just missed it by like a day.
That sucks.
When I was there.
Should have
gone earlier.
Yeah. A flourishing foodie scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have some big-time chefs there now.
Cities of culture.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Lots of architecture.
Yeah.
Distilleries galore.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Highland culture.
Mm-hmm.
The Highland Games.
The Highland Games, indeed.
Island getaways.
Yeah. Isle of Skye.
Yes. Wildlife spotting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently there's a lot of wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of seals, whales,
and
dolphins.
Have you seen the Scottish Highland cat? It's the cutest thing.
No.
It's like a fat, fuzzy kitty.
I love it already. there's a lot of outdoor activities and world-class golf courses.
Yeah, St. Andrew's course being like the OG course, I think.
Now, a little bit of history.
A little bit of history.
Rick sees this guy of Scotland as rugged, colorful, and feisty.
Yeah.
Would you ascribe that to...
I would describe myself as those things.
Oh, perfect.
Well, maybe not so rugged. But feisty.
Fortunes were long tied to the sea when, you know, Scotland was becoming, you know, mm-hmm. growing. And so most of its leading cities are located along the firths or estuaries.
Uh-huh.
The northern highlands consisted of wild, undulating terrain and lochs, while the southern lowlands was flat and urbanized. Historically, both regions were culturally very different. They're described as refined lowlanders who were Protestants, and then rough highlanders who were Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
Today in the lowlands, primarily dominated by rival cities, bustling Edinburgh of the east and friendly Glasgow.
Of the west.
About Edinburgh in particular, very rich with culture, home to many famous writers such as Robert Burns, Robert Louis Stevenson, and Sir Walter Scott.
Mm-hmm. Great Scott!
Yep. Uh-huh. Edinburgh also hosts a huge international festival every August.
Ooh.
In Glasgow.
Oh, cool.
Once a gloomy and industrial, is now a center of art, music, and architecture.
Ooh.
Over in the Highlands, it's described as the domain of nature lovers.
Sure.
With many weathered bluffs, countryside castles, whiskey distilleries, deep lochs.
Lochs.
Jeez. And weather-strewn moors and lush green mountains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Home to the Highland Games. Now, can you describe to me the Highland Games?
Yeah, we have our own in Central Florida. Did you know that?
Maybe.
They are the Scottish Highland Games. Tests of strength, usually. There's caper tossing, which is a long log, and they have to they have to flip it.
Thinking about like capers.
Capers, like fish capers.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. They're long logs that they like hold, and then they toss them, and it has to flip.
Feats of strength. I've seen some where like they toss a boulder.
Boulders, yes. Yeah. They've got like heavy weights that they have to toss around. Like they spin around in a circle, and then they throw them.
That must be really fun to watch. I love watching things just be thrown. Like, why can't more games just be like, let's see how far we can throw something?
Just like brute strength.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. Also in the Highlands, their most touristed city is Inverness.
Inverness. Yeah, I've been there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that is all I have.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful country. Love it. Making me a little homesick.
I think if I had to choose, like, would you choose, when you go to vacations, do you choose more for scenery or for more like city life?
That's a good question. I would probably go for like staying in the city and then adventuring out to the countryside.
Yeah.
Because I do love the countryside. Like that's where I would prefer to reside is the country.
For sure. Usually it's wherever food brings me.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm.
But while we do have like nice places to visit in the States, like I always, you know, if I'm going abroad, then I want to see like nature.
Okay.
For sure.
Cool. Well, then Scotland's a great place for you. Mm-hmm. It's got beautiful countryside.
I want to go now.
When I was on the train going, I believe it was from Edinburgh to Inverness.
See, just the train ride sounds nice.
Yeah, like train rides are nice. Like, they are.
In the countryside.
Beautiful scenery. I saw a stag standing on a mountain.
Ooh.
It was like picturesque. I tried to take a picture, but we were going too fast. Mm. I couldn't get my camera out and go clink. Okay, I'm going to talk about tartans.
Yes.
The sort of dress code, if you will, of the Highlands.
Interesting. Okay.
Initially referred to as a type of cloth worn by Highlanders rather than to the pattern or kinship that they are noted for today, stemmed from the French. Okay, here we go. Tartane? Or tartane, which describes a coarse blend of linen and wool, also known as linsey woolsey, which is fun to say.
It is a fun. Yes.
Early on, stripes on the tartan were indications of rank. For example, kings would have 7 stripes, druids would have 6, and so on, down to a single stripe for a peasant.
Do you think people are like walking by and they just like have to count stripes, like
peasant.
It's like 1. Aha!
There's 7. You must be the king. That's like, an interesting concept.
Like in passing by, it's like count. You have to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like, 6. Oh,
you're a lord or a lady.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. the color was also significant for the different classes. For example, Highlanders sometimes selected colors for camouflage rather than tribal allegiances, such as like greens and browns to blend into the scenery.
Oh, that's pretty smart.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what a tartan is.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. It is essentially just a checkered pattern.
Well.
End of podcast. Goodbye. Let the books do the talking.
Interesting. Why wouldn't you just call it checkered then?
Because we'll get to that.
Okay.
An individual pattern of a tartan is called a set, and it refers to its structure, originally defined by exactly measuring the width of each stripe, now replaced by a precise thread count. Most commonly, they are symmetrical, with colorings described as ancient or modern. Ancient referring to using natural vegetable dyes until the mid-18th century, or newer colors that are used to mimic the vegetable dyes. Modern are produced by using chemical dyes available after the 1860s. They are classified according to purpose, i.e. there is a dress tartan and a hunting tartan, as like we talked about before.
I like the thought of just having different ones for different occasions.
Yeah, kind of like a suit.
Yeah.
So you've got like, for example, for my gun clan, I've got an ancient, which is like muted blues and like reddy tones. And then there's the modern, which is like deep, rich blues and greens. And then there's like a dress version, which is like fancier, brighter colors. And then there's a hunting version, which again is more earthy colors because you want to, it's like blend camouflage. In. Yeah. So let's talk about how it's worn. This is the difference between what's called plaid and what's called tartan. Because Highlanders wore tartans in three different ways. They did the belted plaid, the kilt, and trews, T-R-E-W-S. So plaid refers to the long woolen cloth that was worn over the shoulder. And to put it on, it was placed on the ground on top of a belt. And then they folded it into pleats. And then they laid down on it. So you got a naked Highlander who's like,
well, all right,
folding these pleats. And they actually, Outlander the show.
Yes.
They show how to do it in one of the episodes. And I loved it. It was cool. So then they lay down on their pleats. They fixed their belt around their waist. And then when they stood up, it like fell on their person and it resembled a kilt.
Huh.
But it's not a kilt, it's a plaid. There's a difference.
Oh, okay.
Because main difference is that a plaid is one really long strip of fabric that would go, like, make a kilt and then go up around your shoulder.
Right.
Whereas a kilt is just the
skirt-type
situation.
Yeah.
And trews were elaborately tailored pants that were close to breeches.
Fancy.
Yeah. So kilts were later arrivals, known as little plaid, and come from the Danish word for kilt, K-I-L-T-E, meaning to tuck up, and is related to the literal meaning of filad or folded.
Yeah.
Women wore plaid in the form of plaid. They wore the tartan in the plaid sense.
Right, okay.
As a shawl that went up and around their heads and would tuck under their arms, and then were fastened underneath the chest.
This is fascinating.
It's very fascinating. That's about it. Tartans were banned after the Jacobite uprising.
Well.
Makes sense, kind of. You know, they wanted to squash all culture and history.
Yeah.
But later on, the soldiers of the British Army were later exempt from that rule, allowed to wear their tartan for the army, not like their personal one. And now they are associated with locations, surnames, and clans. So different districts in Scotland has their own tartan. Last names have their own tartans. And clans, like my gun clan, has their own tartan. Even Hello Kitty has a tartan.
Huh.
And I actually have a shawl of Hello Kitty tartan. It's pink.
When do you wear that?
Like when it gets cold outside. It's like a scarf.
Okay.
It's pink with blue and yellow in it. It's very pretty.
Fair enough. I don't have any.
You don't have a tartan?
I do not.
That's fair.
I don't know
if you buy
I would have ever gotten one.
If you buy a castle in Scotland, you could have a tartan.
Oh, yeah. Let me just get right on that.
So, you know, you could do that if you wanted.
Buy one castle, get one tartan free.
Anything is possible.
Sure. I mean, everyone wants to own a castle.
If you could make a tartan, what colors would you pick?
That's
a tough question, right?
It is a tough question. More of my colors are traditionally gray. That's what I wear.
That'd be a cool tartan color.
Oh, no. I'm just like different. I don't know.
put a pin in that. Come back to it later.
Yeah, it's difficult to think about.
I forgot to mention that my book is called The Illustrated Encyclopedia of Tartan, A Complete History and Visual Guide to Over 400 Famous Tartans. It does not include mine, so that's questionable.
It's an incomplete book.
It is found in 929.2094 of the nonfiction section. It's by, I would assume his name is pronounced Ian Zazek, and Charles Phillips, which is very Scottish. Charles Phillips.
Interesting. Okay.
You might find a tartan that you like in here, and then you can just adopt it as your own or get inspiration to make your tartan.
For sure. I mean, you can get really creative with pattern.
Mm. I like the national tartan of Scotland. It's got purple in it. I like it. It's pretty.
One day. One day, maybe.
One day you'll have your own tartan. Just make it up.
It'll be a life goal to own a
make
tartan.
Make your own clan.
There you go.
We'll be the library clan. We can make our own tartan for the library, and then on National Tartan Day next year, we can all wear it.
Perfect.
There we go.
This isn't a promise.
Done. No. Now's when that really fast talk goes by.
Yeah. What are you reading?
I'm still reading that witching book.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I have not, well, I mean, to say that I've not read is not true, because I've been reading a lot of comic books. I've been, like I said before, I've been reading those Teen Titan comics. I think I've just finished
Teen Titans
the series. I don't know. There's no more on Hoopla, and I can't find the next volume. So,
oh, okay. So probably.
I don't know. Either it's ongoing or whatever. I don't know. But it wasn't good until, like, the end for me. I think it was, like, volume 4. It got really good, and then I was just like, yeah, next one. And then there wasn't a next one, and then I was sad. So, yeah, I'm very interested to see where it's going to go.
Yeah, that's fair.
Other than that, I don't have any other books checked out because I am moving. And hooray. I don't want – the worst mistake you can have is to have library books checked out in the middle of a move.
Yep, agreed. Because
you'll never find
them
again.
Things get lost.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay for it.
Yeah, and then
and nobody wants to pay for books. That's what the library's for.
Yeah. So don't do that.
Don't do that.
All right.
Also, but how do you feel? This is hot topic. How do you feel about taking library books on vacation?
See, here's the thing. It depends on where you're going on vacation. If you're going to vacation like somewhere tropical, I would absolutely say no.
No, sand is bad.
Sand
beach, is bad for books.
Water, please, just all around.
Please
bad.
Don't take library books.
If you're going to somewhere like, just like urban or just like, I don't know, like a city or, you know, I feel like that's fine. Because like, I definitely want to have like a book on an airplane.
For sure.
Like book on an airplane is a very good feeling.
Yeah, I took a library book with me to Scotland.
And it was, you left it in Scotland.
I left it on, no, it was a really good book. It was Circe. I read it on the train.
Oh, see, that's also a good, like a good feeling. It's like book on train.
Mm-hmm. Sit with a cup of tea and your book and the Scottish Highlands going by. It was very lovely.
See, that's cozy. The life.
That's a cozy little life. Agreed.
Okay. So upcoming in April, we have tons and tons and tons of programming.
Yeah, because surprise, the library is open for programming.
Yeah. Wow. So you can come see your nonfiction friends. You can come see our makerspace, right?
It's opening on April 17th.
Okay.
So, 2021.
So this month.
At 10 a.m.
Right.
Sharp.
Mark it on your calendars.
Sharp.
You can come see the new makerspace.
Yeah.
But
which
yeah.
is, you can rent where we record our podcast.
Yeah.
We should offer museum tours. Like,
yeah. Hey, this is where the magic
is. The life of a nonfiction friend.
This
is where we work. This is where we
breathe
record.
Life into the podcast.
This is where we get our books from. This is where we do our research.
Yeah.
We're going to start charging for this, right? No,
well,
the library is always
free.
We're
a library.
Everything in the library is free. Darn it.
But you can still come do that.
You can still do it. Specifically request us. We'll be like, what are you doing? It'd be great.
But if you're not able to come in, we still have plenty of online programming for the month of April.
Yes.
Please check it out on our website at osceolalibrary.org.
Yes.
Yeah, and we still have lots of make and take kits, mm-hmm. both for children's and adults, mm-hmm. that you can come in and get, yep. or you can ask for at curbside. So
yes, which is a very cool service.
Do that.
Do the thing.
Do the thing. Now we're off to go eat some haggis.
I wish.
Just kidding. I don't know where I would get that.
You can actually, I believe, hold on, processing, please hold.
Could I get it at Epcot?
There was a year that they did it for the Food and Wine Festival, yes.
Interesting.
But it was vegetarian haggis.
What does that even mean?
It was just like oats and vegetables and stuff.
Is that haggis still?
Not really, because like it's supposed to be the byproducts of meat and stuff, so...
Just remember, we love our listeners.
And that's Nonfiction Friends.